the hope of eternal life. They have nothing but vanity. This life can be taken at any time. And this is why Jesus came. Jesus came to give mankind an everlasting hope. A great life can be had by anybody. There's nothing on this side of eternity except the fellowship and the hope of resurrection that we Christians enjoy that the people of the world do not. The blessings of the Lord in seasons and times. This is a blessing because God loves the whole world. They also farm their lands and they reap. Wouldn't it be a big testimony of Christian faith if only the fields of Christians yield harvest every year? They will just say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have a great harvest, right? But no. The righteous will live by faith and not by sight. And oftentimes, as a song connotes, it's a very tiresome journey. And we have to remind ourselves because we lose heart. I know people who started with Jesus in their elementary school. And you get to high school, they are no longer with Jesus. Some started with Jesus in their high school. And when you get to college, you're hanging out with the wrong crew. They'd lost hope. They're out of fuel. Some people, you know them to be fervent Christians in their college days, but the pressures of the workplace, they're changed. And some that are very fervent, you find out they are now cold and they are churchgoers. They say, I used to know you. You used to be very excited about fellowship. What happened? It's a long journey. Only by the grace of God can we really remain fervent because we're heading home. Some are fervent before they migrated. And once they get to America, they think, easier life. I'm going to be able to worship. I remember I can't name names, but I've had a couple of interactions where when these folks fervent, I said to them that the demon in America is greater than the demon where you're coming from or as great. It's the same devil, just different clothes and different accent, but same devil. And they won't believe me. Fast forward 10 years. Where are you in the Lord? You used to be a teacher of the word of God. No, all they talk about are business and processes. They had lost it. May the Lord guide us. We're heading home. A saint must fix his eyes on eternity. We must not be stuck up or caught up with service. And some people, it's church that has taken Jesus from them. They used to be instinctive, loving, kind, Jesus kind of Christians. And as they got promoted and familiar with church, church work, church activities, has taken the dynamism of loving Jesus from them. Now they are all about programs, activities, projects. May the Lord help us. We are heading home. We are going home. In the 2 Peter chapter 3, talks about the judgment must start from the house of God. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will be the end of those who do not believe? We must remind ourselves, anytime I get, whether joy or sorrow, I remind myself that I'm heading home. When I'm praised or when I'm blamed, I remind myself that I'm heading home, that I belong to Jesus. I don't belong here anyway. I cannot be validated here. I have the better portion. We must remind ourselves that there's better tomorrow, that there's the dawning of the day, that the cloud we part one day and the saints of God, we shine like a royal diadem in their father's house. This was how we started. We are heading home. The grave is a starting point for us. That's why it is written in the Bible that where's thy victory? O death, O grave, where's thy sting? Then it says to us that the only sting that death has for a Christian is sin. Once there's no sin, the grave has no sting. Death has no victory because Jesus has gone ahead. This seems like nothing. These little words, they seem like words, right? Making $1 million for some people this morning is better news than we're heading home. But I don't care the number of millions. It will perish with the dirt. But Jesus has come to give us something that will not perish. That's why, by the way, you find that Christians have at times the hardest lives. And this moment, this side of the eternity, is the moment of our mortification, where there's so much confusion and pain, so that only the righteous, only those who we accept the Lord by faith, we stand. There's no evidence except the intense power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. That's the magic of salvation. God is good on the cross. God is good at the table for the Last Supper. God is good all the time. We're heading home, and we need to remind ourselves every Sunday, every Monday, we need to remind ourselves that we are not ordinary people, because Jesus loves us. And one day he's coming for us. Praise the Lord. I'd like to say again, Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. We appreciate you and love you, our grandmothers, our moms. It's not easy to be a mom. Children, it's not easy to be a mom. You ought to give your moms an extra hug this morning. I'd say moms are God's gift to children, all of us. And we bless the Lord for you. We appreciate what you do. I always say a mother's love is the closest thing to the love of God for mankind. It's a selfless kind of love. When you're at your weakest, when the families are their weakest, that's when the moms are their strongest. And we bless the Lord for what he has done in your lives. We pray that the blessings of the Lord will rest. You will always see the prosperity of your children in Jesus' name. Your prayers may it please the Lord to answer. And may he give you a great reward for all of these disciples. I only charge mothers this morning to know that these children are not your children. They are just their pastors for Jesus. The best gift that a mother can give to a child is to train that child in the way of the Lord, to love these children for Jesus, to be a servant of Jesus to these children. That a child that loves their mother must love Jesus. That's when you've done your job. And I pray the Lord will grant the strength that these children's interaction through us with the world will be filtered through Christ our Redeemer. They will know God has given to you the closest asset and relationship to his children. One day there will be children no more. To you, to us, they are always children. But at this age, we all know that we are almost parenting our parents at this age. But when you help to build them up in the way of the Lord and they love Jesus Christ, you know that you've done your job and you're going to get a reward from the Master. Let's teach them. Let's train them. Let's teach them about Jesus. Let's not waste the things that God has, the influence that God has given us over our children. Let's not waste it for carnal things, for sentimental things. Let's leverage it for eternal. Let's discipline them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all the gifts within us are to be leveraged for Christ our Redeemer. The Bible says whatsoever we do, whether we raise children, we should do it in the name of God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. Happy Mother's Day. May the Lord continue to bless you, and may our homes be happy homes. I think I speak on behalf of all the men. They will appreciate you and love you. Pray that the Lord will continue to bless you and give you strength. We bless the Lord for what he's doing. Let us pray. Glorious Father, we exalt you. Thank you for the reminder of our heavenly home. Thank you for today that you give to us to share, Lord, respect and honor and love for our women, our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunts. Thank you, blessed Father. Father, we worship you today. We exalt you above every other thing in this service. Holy Spirit, if it pleases you, you will show us a piece of the kingdom. He said, it has pleased you, Lord, to give the kingdom to us, O little children. Help us to learn from your word today, Lord. Grant us strength. Father of our own, we cannot measure up to this word. Pray that your word will mix with faith. Grant us understanding today. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Today, I would like us to talk about Luke chapter 5. We have been talking about the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. And in Luke 5, I'll read the first few verses. What my mind is on today is the multitude and the disciples. And I've titled this, "What kind of follower are we?" And I think this is very important because we live in a generation where there's a mixture of multitude and disciples. There are people within the church that are like multitudes, all mixed with disciples. There's palpable coldness. There are some people who are very active in activity within the church, and they do not know that they are not disciples. They are just part of the multitude. And we want to be sure that it is not on judgment day that we'll be able to test ourselves to see whether we are multitude or we are disciple. Because two kinds of people followed Jesus when Christ was alive. The first kind are the multitude. But the Bible also talks about another kind of constant follower of Jesus. The Bible calls them disciples. And I know the Bible did not call us to be part of the, but rather to be part of the. It is very easy to be part of the multitude, but it is not easy to be a disciple. So there are some similarities between disciples and multitude. But the passage that got me thinking about it was the teaching of our Lord and the calling of the disciples in Luke chapter 5. Please, let's open our Bibles to Luke 5. Hi, Sister Lord. How are you guys? What are your names? What's your name? Tofumi. Jesu Tofemi, no. It's nice to see you. What's your name? Jesu Tofikumi. Fi-ire-kumi. Wow. Jesus is enough for me. Jesus has added blessings to me. Wow. Okay. What's her name? Tumife. Tumike. Jesu Tumike. Oluwa Tumike. Wow. Those are powerful names. Wow. Amen. As your name is, so it shall be with you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to church. Sister Jumoke, we salute you. It is well. We've been praying with you and for you. Huh? And we bless Francis. You never did come back. And I was beginning to boast that you're a man of your words. But it is well. We thank God. Auntie, welcome. It's nice to be in church. There are a lot of us. Say welcome to the angels that are around as well. That kind of choir. Welcome them in the name of the Lord. Bless them. Right. So, from verse 1, so it was as the multitude pressed upon Jesus, Luke 5 from verse 1, they wanted to hear the word of God. So what is this characteristic of multitude? You know, I've challenged us to please, let's look very closely at the Bible. If you don't look close enough at the Bible, you will be led astray. Because Satan quotes the Bible as well. But he will quote the Bible with a little, what? A little error in it. And there's nothing more persuasive than an error that is backed up by the Bible. That's why the greatest deception today is in the Christian body itself. Because once the word of God has been twisted, even those who want to love and serve the Lord, they would think that that error is the way that God wants it to be. I think our Lord Jesus Christ talked about it. He said they will even be killing you and they will think they are doing God a favor. And he wasn't saying they are wicked people. He's saying that the deception will be so great that they will think that while they are killing Christians, that is exactly what God wanted them to do. Many of the Pharisees and Sadducees are not evil people. They sincerely believed that they were obeying the commandment of Moses. That's why I implore you Christians, don't be et cetera Christians or something like that. Be able to say precisely what your Savior said. That's why Joshua 1:8 says, be careful to do, meditate and be careful to do according as it is written in it. Every sentence, every word, especially in this age of Greek and Hebrew translation, if they cannot confuse you in the English, they will introduce the Greek, which they know you do not understand, in order to sway you from your stead, from the simplicity of the word of God. How many times did Satan say, did God really say in the Garden of Eden? It's very important. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. But man has to live by what? We always skip that every. We love to say man shall live by the Bible. That's not what Jesus said. The Lord was much more particular. He said every single, because you may get the sentence right and miss a word, and then the sentence means something else. So in this passage that we're reading this morning, he says, so it was that the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. The multitude pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Jesus told me, what did the multitude do in this world? What did they want to do with Jesus? Why did they come to Jesus? To hear the word of God. The multitude was in church. The multitude are church attendees. We used to think, we would normally think the multitude were just people, the Lord was going on the street, and yeah, they are never do good, they had nothing to do, and they just followed the Lord, you know. They wanted to hear, just like you and I want to hear the word of God. The multitude pressed to hear the word of God. It's not everybody that presses to hear the word of God as a disciple. It's not everybody that is interested in studying the Bible with you that is a pastor. It's not every church that is a disciple church. Every multitude that came to Jesus also was interested in Bible study. It's not every Bible study that is after Jesus. So this multitude came and they pressed upon him. When you attend a seminar, it's not all the crowd there that are interested in Christ himself, although they have come to study his word. And we have to change that mindset. And we see other characteristics of multitude here and similarities to disciples. Disciples wanted to hear, multitude also were interested in God's word, right? And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats. This boat belonged to Simon. And he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught multitude from the boat. Did Jesus not speak to multitude as well? Jesus spoke to disciples and he spoke to multitude. So it's not everybody that is hearing the word of the Lord that is a disciple. There's a difference. Tenny, do you agree with me? Just wondering where I'm going with this. She's fast. The Lord cares for the multitude. Jesus wants everybody to hear his word. What separates disciples from multitude is not the fact that they are hearing the gospel. It's not everybody that is hearing the gospel that is a multitude. I mean, that is a disciple. So I want you to watch this story carefully, because he did get into the boat. He went through the road. He borrowed a fisherman's boat. And when he had stopped speaking, when he had taught the multitude, who did he turn to? A potential disciple. He broadcast the word of God to everybody. But Christ had a specific plan for one man. The least likely man. The man that was not even originally there for him. Simon was not pressing to hear Jesus this particular morning. That is the broad grace of the Lord. He was just going about. The man was not even in church. He was just a fisherman about his business. They just happened to have located this service around his fishing area. The Lord spoke to the multitude. But to one man who was going to work on Sunday morning, whose agenda was not that meeting. I don't know whether it was Sunday or not. I'm just using that as an example. That was the one that the Lord now turned to. The only one he called by name so far. The rest were multitude. God knows everybody on earth and the multitude. But by name, he knows only who. My servant Moses, I know. Every disciple he knows by name in a special relationship. My question here is, are you a multitude or God knows you by name? This is very important, brothers and sisters. The Lord fills my spirit with a desire to let every Christian know that there's a real thing and then there's the common thing. May we not be common Christians in Jesus' name. It is time to arise beyond the average. We have to make a distinction between truth and churching and religion. There has to be a clear distinction between those who have stood up to work for Jesus and those who are following this trend of Christianity. We must surface the truth before the trumpet sounds. Because there's a scary thing going on. There's a religion taking shape that has nothing to do with the great salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ that transforms the soul. And the whole world is looking for the disciples to stand up. The world is finding multitudes. A lot of people go to church on Sunday. How many people between Monday and Saturday do you meet with and you just naturally fellowship in Christ with? There's a lot of multitude, only few disciples. So let's see what happened. The Lord had a plan. He preached to the multitude, but he had a salvation plan for his disciple. I have to ask you, what is your experience of Jesus lately? Some people are Christians today because someone invited them to church. They are still part of the multitude. Until the day you encounter Jesus yourself. Some people are members of the church because, well, the church sees you coming, so automatically you're a member. Well, yes, you are, but you're part of the multitude. Until you have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference between a church member and a disciple. Some people are in church today because their parents bring them to church. I tell you, my children, Jesus loves you and you can have a personal encounter with the Savior of the whole wide world. He knows you. He wants you. This message is as valid. You remember the song, Jesus loves the little children. Let the children come unto me. Insist on a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. The church may know you, but Jesus does not. Do you want that? No, you want to know Jesus personally. The Lord preached to the multitude. Said, go ye into the world and preach. So we preach to everybody. We invite everybody to church. But to one particular man, he had a specific plan. And I don't know. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any of you will open the door of your heart, I will come in and dine with him. I think that's a special relationship. When you are able to say, I'm going to sing a Yoruba song, Kate. I wish I could sing. You could. Grammar. Oh, I will have to interpret it. Who else? This Simi Anike. Okay, guys, I'll sing it. Then we'll have to interpret it. There's a song that says, you know, Uncle likes the song that I used to hear in my Yoruba church when I was growing up. I was part of the multitude then. But God was putting some of the songs I was hearing in my head. And I never forget these songs that are most impactful to me today. It's been a banjo, a new hotel, a Jesu, 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 Jesu. You know what Jesu is in your name. Tojo Banro. Ah, Tenny, what does that mean? A new hotel, a Jesu. That's another translation of it. Another tune. Duro de mi Jesu kintele odopin. Hallelujah. Bino banjo. Emi otele Jesu. Bojo banro. Emi otele Jesu. Duro de mi Jesu kintele odopin. Grandma, I'm going to interpret it. Or I'll have someone interpret it. You want to interpret, Sister Kike, please. There's something about being a discipleship. Oh, sorry, being a disciple, not being a discipleship. English is my second language, forgive me.
Being a banjo, immutable, Jesu, it means if there's fire, I'll still follow God. Bojo banro, immutable, Jesu, it means that even when it's raining, there's a storm, I will follow God. I'll follow Jesus.
Yeah. There's another one. So even if both combine on a day where there's rain and fire together,
even if there's fire, storm, tornado, anything, I will combine together. I will still follow Jesus.
Then there's a very important one. There's a prayer at the end.
Wait for me, Jesus, so that I can follow you till the end.
Amen.
Stay That's- with me. The Amen. Lord Jesus, I can follow you till the end.
Amen. That's the passage. That's the song of a disciple. But not the multitude. When it rains more, multitude will not come to church. When there's threat of something, multitude will not come to church. I don't want to conflate following Jesus with coming to church. We not follow Jesus is what I mean. Once there's a little discouragement, the multitude will go back. But the song of the disciple is, come what may, no matter what Satan does to me, I will follow Jesus to the end. And Jesus will be waiting at the end for us in Jesus' name. The theme today is multitude versus disciple. And I feel passionate about this topic because Satan has done a lot of damage. Where's the zeal? Where's the fervency? Where's the love in your daily life for the master that we claim to love? Where's the discipleship zeal? Christ is calling us to re-examine our devotion to this thing that we call Christianity. So the Lord here called Simon and he had a plan. He told him, he had a miracle. He had an interaction with him. He said, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a catch. We know this story. The way we used to tell this story is, yes, the Lord got into the boat. He told him to let down his net and he caught plenty of fishes. And of course, we always think about food. So that excites us. But this is more than that, brothers and sisters. I want to take you to that situation again. Number one, Simon was not there to listen to Jesus that day. Simon did not choose Jesus, and this is remarkable grace. Jesus chose Simon. Jesus chooses his disciples. The man was an experienced fisherman who was done with the labor of the day. Have you ever been a craftsman or you've gone to work and you've dotted your I's, you've crossed your T's, you've had a very difficult day and you are rounding up. You work on computers, you've shut it down. This man was an experienced fisherman. He was as good a fisherman as the rabbi was at his job. And then he just sees a group of people by the seashore and he saw a man who he probably had heard about teaching them. But I tell you, there were many people teaching people in Israel on those. Remember, the Bible told us scribes had the habit of standing at the street corners and they'll be teaching. So this wasn't strange. But there was something about this man. This man turned to him. He did not pay him money. He gave him a commandment. He told him to do something. This is where you begin to see the heart of a disciple. He did it. He lent the man his boat. And when this man was done, I'd cleaned my nets. I fished all day. This man who was not an experienced fisherman, for all I know, this man was more of a carpenter than a fisherman. He now told Peter, the experienced fisherman, to go back to untie the net that he had washed and go back and fish in the same area that he had fished all day and he caught nothing. Put yourself in Peter's shoes this morning. You will see exactly what Peter said. Verse 5. Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. That's where most of us will stop. But there's always something in the heart of a disciple that feels a pressure and inclination to follow Jesus. Peter, the Bible record, Luke recorded it so that we will think that Peter had no reason not to obey Jesus. As of this time, he had not seen a miracle. The Bible did not say that the Lord had been performing miracles to the multitude. So Peter was, no. There's always a seed of faith. Despite the circumstances around you, as a disciple, there's something within you that will want you to obey Jesus Christ. So he went on there and said, nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I will let down the net. How many things do you do simply at the word of Jesus, although all the circumstances around it are contrary to common sense? Faith. The disciple receives the word of God. I mean, the multitude. But disciples act on the word of God. At your word. Nothing else but the word of a carpenter. As far as Peter was concerned, this was a carpenter at this point. How many of you are acting by faith? How many of you are saying, the Bible says, at thy word, O Lord Jesus, I will do this. Nothing around me tells me it will work. But nonetheless, I'm not an unreasonable man. I have toiled on this same swath of water and pool and river for hours. I know how to watch the tides. I know when the fishes should come in. I've done everything that my father had taught me. Me and my brothers are experienced fishermen. We've done it all day. It hasn't worked. At this time of the day, there should not be fishes. Fish. Is it plural? Whatever. Fish. There should not be fish. But nonetheless, at thy word, darling Jesus, I will do it. How many things I say again, disciples of God, have you done strictly at the word of Jesus? It's no longer fashionable to act at thy word. It's no longer. The heavens hear more disobedience than obedience. At thy word. This doesn't make sense in the light of my culture, but at thy word, O Lord. What is our attitude towards thy word, the word of God, brethren? Can Christ be happy when we're not obeying his word? As disciples, shouldn't we act on the word of God? Exhort one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Simple obedience. Isn't obedience better than sacrifice? Isn't listening to Jesus that the fountains of Ram? Where are the Christians that simply say, the Bible says? Nevertheless, at thy word. How the heaven rejoices when a human being says, nevertheless, at thy word, O God. Jesus says this, so this is what I will do. We have hedging and hemming Christians. It has to mean something else. Because it doesn't make sense, that cannot be the voice of God. We are forever featuring the word of God in the light of our cultural experiences. So there's no power anymore. But disciples were not like that. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. When did they catch the fish? at thy word. Was it before obedience or after obedience? How many times does God have to prove himself to us, brothers and sisters? Every time we have a new trial, he must prove himself all over again. Although he had proved himself before. But every time, it's as if we've never experienced his miracle before. We begin to doubt all over again. Meanwhile, several times, we've forgotten the miracles of yesterday, that the God of the good times is the God in the bad time. The God of the valley is the... I don't know how that song goes. What is that song? In the bad times, he makes it right. Mountain is the God in the valleys. He's the God of the night. Oh, me, I pray, I wish I had the grace to remember lyrics. The God of the good times. We always put the Lord on trial every time. But the Lord wants us to be full of faith. When was the last time you quoted the scriptures under a circumstance that is irregular and you're saying, I stand at thy word? The fish came after the disciple obeyed. The disciple came after Jesus called his name. As many of you as are hearing the word of Christ tonight, is Christ knocking at your door? Please obey it. Today is the day of salvation. Many of us are waiting for Christ to prove himself to us first. It's a pleasure to be known by him. You will experience him, but at thy word. This man had been laboring all day, but he got his fish. But we're not talking about food today. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. These are stories. Miracles like this never happen in my life. You lie. You totally lie. How did you get to be as old as you are, if not of the multiplication of the grace of God in your life? The only reason you don't know that miracle like this never happened in your life is because miracles like this have been so common that we no longer see them as miracles. You know what favor God does for you every day? Do you know what plan Satan has for each one of us? Do you know what is going on in Ukraine this morning? Do you know that the grace to be awake in church today is grace? It's a privilege. It's not a right. Do you know there are many children that are begging for a cup of rice this morning? Every day, the miracle of the Lord is upon us. Do you know how many billion cells you have in your body? Do you know the potential for any of them to go wrong at any time? Say, yeah, the dividing of the only happens to Peter. When I see the dividing of the fish, I'll be, how about the dividing of your cell every day? How does your fingernail grow? How does the hair of your hair grow? We ingrates. Oh, how we ought to be blessing the Lord. The miracle of the, look at the changing times and seasons. Did you see those trees a few weeks ago? Twigs, dry? How did you wake up and they are all green all over again? The Lord does not merely divide fish. Of fishes, of fish. He divides leaves upon trees, flowers on the field. Miracle everywhere. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes that we may see wondrous things of his works. Really? How did your car go through 100 traffic lights without being hit? Do you know how many crazy people you passed on the road? Have you ever been to the orthopedic clinics? Miracles. All nature, the glory of the seen Lord. Who can compare to the beauty of our God and King? Forever. First Corinthians chapter 10, the Lord said, do not murmur as they did the children of Israel, as they did, and 10,000 of them on the same day were struck down. Bless the Lord. Let's ascribe glory. Ascribe to our Lord, our God. He's perfect and all is the God of our God. He's, please pay attention to me. Just the God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is He. Our God of faithfulness and
without injustice, good and upright is He.
Ascribe what? Greatness. Simon saw the dividing of the fish, but God has not been silent in your life and my life. No matter how bad things are today, He's not quiet. He's making intercession for us and preparing a place for us, so we also can worship Him. So, in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He called everybody from the second boat. They all saw two boats filled with fish. How many people fell down? One, the disciple. The disciple. All the rest gathered the fish. They secured it. They froze it in their cool freezer. They were happy. They went to town to tell the story about how wonderful Jesus is. But only one stayed a little second more to reflect on the message that he just saw. To look at the man rather than the miracle. And that's the difference between the multitude and the disciple. The disciple always sees the man. The multitude sees the miracle. The miracle, the fish will finish. But the Holy Spirit told Peter here that Jesus, he went directly to fish, to Jesus. He went for salvation. Depart from me. And the journey of a true disciple starts with repentance. Many of you have been persuaded to be church members without repenting. We are so desperate for membership now that repent is no longer needed. Just come and join the church and give money. And then we give you a membership certificate. There's no membership certificate into heaven. Abi, will they check certificate? Angel Gabriel, someone should show me the verse. He repented. When a true, that's the difference between the multitude and the disciples. The multitude sees a miracle and they glorify the Lord from whom the miracle came. And they go about telling about it and they come back waiting for more bread and more fish tomorrow. Remember, they also had their own fish miracle and bread. Right? What did they do? They came back right after looking for what? Fish and bread. Until Jesus told them, stop seeking me for fish and bread. Seek me for things that are more important than fish and bread. But the disciple sees a miracle and instead it brings repentance. It brings worship. And he loves the man that performs the miracle, not just the miracle that the man performs. Why are you in church this morning? Is it to seek Jesus? If you are looking for a solution to your problem, the Lord will solve it. But you will chop your fish and it will finish. What remains after that? But when you look for Jesus, you find a permanent solution to all your problems. We'll finish soon. He and those who are with him, verse 9, they were astonished at the catch which they are taking. And so also were James, John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for from now on, you are going to catch men. Matthew 28, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. He told his disciples the good news. The multitude here go away. Disciples become useful to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you are part of the multitude. You are not actively working for God's kingdom. If all the world can say about you is that you're about your own business, you're about fishing business, what are you doing that others are not doing, that Gentiles are not doing? Disciples are laboring for the kingdom and the souls of men. What are you doing? If you're a Christian and you're hearing me today, and when they talk about you, they are not talking about you relative to the project of the kingdom. It's always relative to how well you are in one secular job or the other. You are just part of the multitude. You are not a disciple. Disciples are fishers of men. Disciples are pining like Jesus on how their neighbors will be saved. Disciples are strategizing on how the kingdom on earth, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Disciples take Jesus personally. It's not just an address for them to go to every Sunday. What are you? Are you part of the multitude or are you a disciple? That's 2 Peter chapter 3. Now the judgment must start from the house of the Lord. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will be the end of those who do not believe? Peter here. See the conversion of Peter as we close. A real disciple. He was not proud. Although he was an experienced fisherman, at thy word, a disciple's response to the word of God. As Jesus spoke to the multitude, he also spoke to Peter. But to Peter, at his words, he was ready to act. He saw a miracle, the same miracle that multitudes see at times. But what happened? That miracle broke him. He was not fixated. The Bible did not say he stayed with the fish that was caught. No, he left the fish to follow the man that caught the fish for him. Disciples are more concerned about Jesus than they are about activities, than they are about church, about perception, about miracles, about signs. Some people, all the experience fellowship they have with God is, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. And the Lord will continue to do it, to do it, to do it. But that does not mean you will have the reward at the end. Those who want to inherit the kingdom of God must labor with Jesus. The Bible says, labor while there is day, for the night will come when no man can labor again. So what are you? Satan has mixed multitude and disciples together. We want to release the mixing today. Do you love Jesus or what? Have you spoken to Jesus? If the whole world was to turn around, if the whole church turns against Jesus, will you stand? Do you act at the word of Jesus? Do you even bother to meditate in the course of the week after what Jesus says? If you're a Sunday Christian, you're just part of the multitude. But if you act at his word, like Peter did here, then you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Choose to be a disciple. Let me see if I wrote anything down that we haven't talked about before I closed it. So, 11, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him and his brothers. Did the multitude follow Jesus? Did the multitude forsake all? But the disciple did. What is it in your heart that you haven't forsaken for Jesus? Your family? Your personal interest? Is your job still ahead of Christ in your life? Your wife? Your husband? Your mother? Your father? Anybody that is a conditional follower of Jesus is a multitude, is part of the multitude. But when Jesus is number one in your life, then you are a disciple. So I plead with you as we leave today that you consider these words, that you take a personal interest in developing your relationship with Jesus because he knows you by name. Be determined that you are going to love him a little bit more. There's a song about that, love him a little longer. Draw him a little nearer. There's a song I've forgotten. Be determined. Don't see yourself as part of a church. Some of us, our identity is I attend New Covenant Church. New Covenant Church is a social construct. New Covenant Church is a social construct. New Covenant Church is not registered in heaven. It's registered here on earth. It just describes a family of people who love the Lord or want to follow Jesus. I pray that you will redefine yourself as a lover of Jesus. Say, I love you, Lord. Some of us, we must talk to our pastor. We've never talked to Jesus before. Our faith is hinged on men. No, no. Make sure you know Jesus before you know someone else. Make sure Jesus is ahead of you, in your heart, and beside you. He's the Savior. He's the one that loves you. The love of men is just borrowed love from Jesus to you. Get personal. In fact, challenge yourself to differentiate yourself from the multitude. What are you doing? What devotion? What fervency is in your heart that will differentiate you from the multitude? Begin to think about it. Does God know you by name? Not in a generic way. Do you know the Lord? Do you want to know him? Sister Kemi began to exhort us two Fridays, not this Friday, the one before that. She read something and she began to say, I want to know the Lord, or thereabout. I think that was the phrase. I want to know. And then she gave us certain characteristics of what it means to know the Lord. I beg you in the name of the Lord, Jesus, please don't be a generic Christian. I beg you with all my heart. It's just as well as being an unbeliever. I beg you, please don't be part of the multitude. I know you are not outside. You know, the picture of the temple of the Lord is very illustrative of Christianity today. There's the outer court where they put the brazen, the lava, where you wash your hands. They wash there, they wash the offering. It's outside. It's not inside the tabernacle itself. Most of the crowd, the multitude, they have access to that. Anybody can go there. Then there's the outer court. The outer court, only the priests can go there. Where are you? Are you in the outer court? And there's some disobedient people who will not even come to that place, the outer court, where the brazen lava is. Some people will not. They are devotion. They won't even go to the temple. There are some people like that. But there are some who will go to the temple, but they will just stop. In those days, there was a strict rule. But this was a secret of the Spirit about the time to come. Some will just watch that. Those are Christians who are forever repenting and going by, repenting and going by, repenting and going by, repenting and going by. That's their own. Their own is just to put in an attendance. But then there's the outer court that the priests will go to. Inner court that the priests will go to. Only a few, a tribe, was chosen to go there in those days. And that's a picture of somewhere that the multitude cannot go to. In our redefinition of church, we say these are church workers. We say, okay, these are church workers. These are Christians. We make a distinction between members. And then we say some people are members. Sunday service is for members. Church workers meeting is where church, they are workers. And then there's a holy, where only the pastors, yes, the holy people. We are the only ones with access. God did not make that distinction. The Bible says that on the day that Jesus Christ, our Lord, and then there's the holies of holies, where only the high priest could go to. But what happened on the day that Christ, our Lord, was crucified? What does the Bible tell us? Which veil came down? What does that signify? Everyone must go there. The Lord said, I'm canceling all of that demarcation. I have no grandchildren in the faith. There's no such thing as my father in the Lord. The only father in the Lord is Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's given to him a name above all names. Nobody, no name can come between us and our father. That tabernacle, that veil has been rent. But some people are still waiting at the outer court. They are still waiting for the priest to carry their prayers to the holies of holies. They are still multitude. There's no room for multitude in Christianity anymore. That veil was rent the moment Jesus said it is finished. He came to pull down the veil that separates you from the Lord. And now we can go boldly to the throne of mercy to receive mercy and the grace to help in the time of need. That is Christianity, people. Believe it or not. But you have no right to put up a false structure in Christianity. Jesus has finished it. He's waiting with arms stretched to embrace all of us. There's no priest, there's no clergy. None of that exists in the Bible, in the New Testament anymore. You are a priest. The Bible says you are a holy priesthood, a peculiar person, a royal priesthood, called forth to show forth the praise of your Lord. This is the truth. You shall know the truth, it will set you free. There's nothing that separates you from a special relationship with the Father as you sit. He knows you by name. I beg of you, don't be content to be multitude. Please don't outsource devotion to ministers. You are a minister of the Most High God. Jesus guarantees because you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you are not, he says if you ask him, he will give you. If you are a little child, do you know that Jesus answers your prayer? Do you know that? If you call on Jesus, he answers your prayer. You don't need mommy. Jesus is your father. Jesus is mommy's father. Both you and mommy have the same father. God is our father. All of us. He loves children. He loves the old. He loves the young. Please, let's encourage one another. The Bible says that, I forgot that one. Something about boldness. Yeah, I think we've quoted it too, with boldness. Yes, yeah, yes. We can go with boldness to the presence of the Lord. Yes, Hebrews, somewhere. God is looking down and he's not happy, my brothers and sisters. The church may be happy. Everybody, but Jesus is not happy. Jesus wants relationship. Jesus wants you to be empowered. Jesus wants you to be righteous. Jesus wants you to be bold as a lion. Jesus wants you to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus, the Bible says he's not giving to us the spirit of, again, of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of what? Of power, of love, and of a what?
Sound mind.
May the Lord help us to do away with religion. Please. Don't be shackled by religion. Go boldly to the throne of mercy and receive mercy and the grace to help. May the Lord crush every pretentious spirit in Christianity. The spirit that makes us talk like Christians, pretend like Christians, but our hearts are far. Said these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me. They teach us doctrines, the things that be the precepts of men. Jesus was not speaking Christianese. He was the most normal person on earth. People were confused about his dressing. They were confused that he took wine. They were confused about what he ate. But the confusion was theirs. Christ knew who he was. The Bible says the time has come and the time is now, that the true worshiper must worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because such the Father desires to worship him. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. May the Lord exalt us. May the Lord help us. Please strive to be Christians. Press on unto eternal life by the grace of God. Don't be content until you see Jesus. Satan is telling everybody, chill, chill, relax, relax, chill, chill. That's not what the Bible is telling us. It says our adversary, the devil, is never chilling. He's going about every day like what? A roaring lion is seeking whom he might devour. It says, so resist him steadfastly. Watch and what? Why? Why? No. What does that scripture say? Watch and pray. Thank you. For what? Why? No. I know I'm testing you this morning. Watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. For what? For what? Your spirit is weak. Your flesh is weak, but your spirit is willing. That's the reality of the race we are running. And we all know it. Can't you identify with it? The things I want to do, I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. The things I don't want to do, that's what I'm not. Romans 7. Who we then will deliver me from this body of sin? Romans 8, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from what? The law of the spirit of life and death. We have scriptures and tools. Had thy word, O Lord. My message this morning is, please don't be an average Christian. Because there's judgment coming. Because the Spirit has been given to us. Let's challenge one another. It's not enough to say, how are you? We have to say, how are you doing in the Spirit? We have to challenge lack of fervency in one another. The Bible says, encourage one another today. While what? By the day is called today. So that what? You see, we have work to do. Children of God, we have work to do. Children of God, these are all bullets that God has given to us. He calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit. That's the one that we use to attack Satan. We have work to do. Today, why the day is called today? So that none of us will fall into the deceitfulness of sin. Every day. When I say, Tenny, how are you doing in the Lord? How are you feeling? She might be the day that is weak. Hold her hands. Let's pray for one another. So that she will not fall into the... If you do not get Tenny, Satan will get her. A fake Christian will give her a scripture. Exhort one another today. Why the day is called today? So that none of us will fall into the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. We sang a song last week or 2 weeks before that I didn't know how to sing well, still don't. But those who do will help me. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. No. I don't know how to sing it. The angels beckon me. Da 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 da. Love anymore. One like you. Home. Yes, Lord. It's back on me. Yeah. Heaven's open doors. Can't feel at home in this world. And please don't feel at home in this world. Because the trumpet will sound and you'll be left behind. Many of us, multitudes, are already so at home. Don't feel at home. Woe is he who is what? Thank you, at ease in Zion. These are scriptures that old Christians used to encourage one another. Till they brought out all of those easy, supposedly easy translations. Isn't it strange that when there are easy translations, there's less understanding of scriptures? Tell me, after all, if indeed it's supposed to make Bible more readable, why is it now less readable than when all we had was thou art? Anyway, that's sermon for another day and discussion for another week. We have access to it. Are we reading it more? Let's be truthful. Now it's on our... Are we reading it more? Can you sincerely say that the knowledge of scripture has increased? Nobody coming from the last generation will say that. But we need to study God's word. That word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this moment. Help us to, Lord, follow you. Help us to differentiate ourselves from the multitude today, Lord. It's hard. Seems as if all around us, it's getting more and more hard. The word says we are more than conquerors through Christ. I pray, Lord, that that spirit of fervency, that conversion, that boldness, that spirit that seeks to please the Lord at all times, that spirit that truly hates sin and the garment that is blemished by it, will be upon us, Lord. Help us not to be just church members, but disciples. Give us the grace to be intimate. We're weak in the body many times, Lord, but renew our strength by your Holy Spirit. As we go into the week, we pray for your continual blessings. Please bless us. Carry our burdens, O Lord. Make it easy for us to follow Jesus, our Lord. Help us to ascribe glory and honor and gratitude to you. Father, we have spoken these words. I pray, Lord, that the hearers will not forget. Let this challenge every heart here, my Lord. Let these words call us to a greater, closer intimacy with you. Father, do not dismiss us with a multitude that hears your word, but we don't hear anything more about them. Help us to be disciples. Let those around us know that there's something about our Christianity that is different. May your name be glorified, Lord. Thank you for this day. As we have met, we pray, Lord, that you bring us together again, even with greater joy, with greater discoveries. I pray we'll return with testimonies of experiences of Christ. Those who are on the road, we pray, Lord, that you bring them back safely. Let your glory rest upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What do we do after Sabbath? Praise, know him, right?